It is good to be here this morning. It's a beautiful day out, and we're inside. That did not go the way I wanted it to go. why don't we pray, and then we will get to work. God, thank you for being good to us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for your word and that you speak when we read it. So God, as we read this morning, words that Jesus spoke, I pray that you would speak to us through your Spirit. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Periodically, I like to ask why. Why? Especially if it's something that I do all the time. I like to ask why, and maybe you're a person like that. Maybe you're always asking why. You know, it's like maybe as a kid you got in trouble for it because there's like why, not you know, like the 2-year-old with the string of whys. But if I have to do this, why do I have to do that? I want to understand why. I got in trouble for that quite frequently, but it didn't break me of it. Whenever I do things over and over again, I find myself asking why. Why am I doing this? Am I doing it just because I've always done it this way and because everybody else does it, or why am I doing this? And periodically, I find myself asking that same question about this, about church, about being a Christian, about Sundays, about why do we do what we do? Why do we do this? Why do we live together as a community and read our Bibles? And why? What's the purpose? What's the ultimate purpose behind all of that? What's? And so when I find myself asking that question, then I tend to stop everything and share that with you. So if you're here regularly, you'll notice that about twice a year we ask ourselves why, and no surprise, the answer is always the same. So come August, December, we'll do the same thing. The answer will be the same. But here's the deal. What I find is that for me personally, it's very helpful to remember why, to remind myself this is why. It's not just I get up on Sundays and I put on relatively nice clothes and I go to a place and no. There's a reason, there's a purpose, and that changes the way that I do what I do, and hopefully you will experience the same thing. Why do we tend to do this, church? Why do we tend to do it? There's several reasons. One, yeah, maybe, you know, just like you need a social club. You need a place where you belong. I know for most of my life, I belonged at church. That was my thing. That was where my parents took me, and so that's where my friends were, and that's just kind of where I fit in, and I found myself fitting in more and more, so that many times, that's why I do this. When I was When I was in high school, the why was, well, there were girls in the youth group. Where else would I go on Sunday mornings or Sunday nights, and any other time they would let me hang out there? And then, or maybe it's because for you it's like a religious duty. You feel like, okay, I know I have to go to church. I'm supposed to do that. My parents beat that into me. I have to go to church. This is just what you do. I'm not sure I'm a good person if I don't go to church. Maybe it's a religious kind of an obligation that you feel. Maybe this for you is your refuge of safety from the world. Maybe you're part of this community because you want a place where it's safe, where there aren't bad people, where everybody is kind of about as good as you, and everybody, it's a good place for your children, and everybody's just kind of good, and I don't have to have all that pesky badness, and it's one place I can go where I'm not going to have to always be earmuffing my kids' ears because people are saying stuff and using those big words that I don't want my kids to learn, and it's a safe place for me to be and to feel. But maybe you come here and you're part of this because it makes you feel good about yourself. You're one of those good church people. You go to church. Your neighbor doesn't go to church. You know that because you get home and he's outside in shorts mowing his lawn. Pagan. I'm a good church. I go to church. I'm a good one. I'm kind of better than everybody who doesn't go to church. And not just that, I go to my church, which is better than your church. And so I'm even that much better than, I mean, my neighbors left this morning, but I know where they were going. It was a church, but not like my church. Maybe you're part of this because you feel good about yourself. It makes you feel like you're a good person. The problem with all of these reasons, or whatever your reason is for being part of this, most of the time, the reasons that we kind of fall into for going to church every Sunday, for being part, if you're part of a study or ministry or whatever you're part of, as you're part of this, maybe you come twice on Sundays and Wednesdays and you have a small group study and you come to the clothes closet, you're really part of it. Whatever your reasons are for doing that, most of the time, our reasons end up, they don't satisfy us. We find ourselves kind of feeling like we're in the same rut. I go to church, I do this, and then, okay, when is it going to be over? 20 more minutes of this, and then 25, however long ago. And then I'm done with it for a week, and it just starts feeling like a rut. And days like today are good because they can pop us out of the rut, and we say, okay, why am I doing this? If I'm going to do this, I want to do it with passion. I want to do it because there's a reason why I'm doing it. And so what I would like us to do is to look at Jesus' last words, his last thing that he just gave to his followers and said, this is why you're going to do what you do. Not just on Sundays, throughout the week, throughout your life. This is why you're going to do it. This is why you're going to be together. This is really the only reason that you're going to be a community. Not because you're all the same and y'all like each other, but because this is the reason that you're going to be together. This is the reason you're going to hang out. And this is the reason that you're going to do everything you do together as a community and individuals if you're my followers. I want to look at that this morning. And if you're part of this, if you say, I'm part of this, so, and whatever your reason is for being part of it, this will be a reminder for us, if you consider yourself part of this community, that this is why we do what we do. This is why we get together on Sundays. This is why we have a clothes closet and a food ministry. And this is why we meet together in homes. And this is why we come back on Wednesdays. And this is why we do the things we do together as a community. This is the reason. And it'll refocus us on that. It'll give us more passion and more purpose as we do these things for the next few months before we get to another, Sunday where we ask why again. If you're not part of this community, if you're investigating this, if you're kind of on the outside looking in and you're, I don't know if this is for me or not, this will give you the reason why. This will help you understand why you might want to be part of this community. Because as imperfect as we are, this is what we want to be the reason why we do what we do as a group of people. So what does Jesus say he wanted his followers to do? What was their reason for existing individually and as a group? What was it? Well, here's a summary statement, and then we'll look at Bible so you can see that this isn't just me. And if you don't agree with the summary statement, make your own up. But here's what I see in the text we're going to look at. Jesus says, if you're my followers, you exist, we exist, so that people far from God can find peace and purpose in Christ. As his followers, we exist on Sundays together in little groups, in ministries, when we're giving out food and clothing, whatever we do, when you have people into your home who aren't Christians, who don't know Jesus, and you talk to them and you serve them food and you hang out and whatever you do, whatever we do, we exist. The reason Jesus says that we exist is so that people far from God can find purpose and peace in him, in Christ. So let's look at his last words. And here's what I want to do. Go to Matthew 28. We're going to start there. But Jesus repeated, actually he didn't repeat himself. He said it once. And then his followers came behind and they all repeated this using different words, which tells me Jesus gave a talk. He didn't just say a phrase. And then Matthew wrote down a summary of that, or a chunk of what Jesus said. And then Mark wrote down something a little different from the same talk. Luke did the same thing. John did the same thing. And then Paul sums it up later on. And you can find this throughout the Bible, but I want to focus on when Jesus said it. So Jesus, now picture this. Jesus had lived his life. He spent 3 years with this group of guys. He died on the cross. He rose from the dead. And now he's with them. And he's about, they don't know this, but he does. He's about to ascend into heaven. Man, that's a whole other thing. I mean, how weird would that have been for them? They didn't know that was going to happen, but that happened right after he said these words. And then listen to the words that he says. So he gives them this charge. He says in Matthew 28, verse 18, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. You rise from the dead. under your own power, you are God. And she's saying, I'm God. I'm God. So here's what I'm going to tell you to do. Go, therefore, or as you go, make followers, disciples, followers of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to, mine says observe, really means obey, all that I have commanded you. Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Jesus said, I will be with you. And I'm God, I have all authority. And as you go through life, here's why you exist if you're my followers. Here's why we exist if we're his followers. To help other people follow him. To help other people find peace with God and purpose in their lives through Christ. To help other people be Christ followers. That is the reason why we exist. We're supposed to help people who do not follow Christ today, who live their lives for themselves, whether they're good people or bad people. This isn't just for, you know, those evil pagans. It's for those good people who don't have time for God, whatever. It's for everybody who's not following Christ. We're supposed to help them start following Jesus and learn what it means to would mean for them to live their lives in submission to the King of the universe. And then we're supposed to bring them to the moment of decision where they repent and are baptized, where they make the decision to enter into God's family. And Jesus says, bring them to that point. He's not talking about, you know, baptizing infants. He's not talking about getting baptized after summer camp, because that's what everybody else did at summer camp, or getting baptized by the time you're 18, because everybody in your family got baptized when they were 18, so I got to do it, otherwise I'm not part. He's talking about making your own decision, that you are going to follow him by repenting and being baptized. Bring people to that decision, and then tell them to come to church every week. No, teach them to obey everything I've commanded, including, and probably most importantly, this command. Teach them to be followers who make other followers. That's why we exist. We exist to help people far from God find peace and purpose through Christ. And then he says, I'm with you as you do that. Flip over to Mark 16. Again, the very end of the book, right before he's taken up into heaven. Mark 16, verse 15. And he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. Again, whoever makes that decision that they will follow me by believing and being baptized will become God's child. And whoever doesn't will not be God's child. Go and preach the gospel. What is the gospel? That's shorthand for good news. What particular good news is it? Is that it's a beautiful day outside and you're going to have a good afternoon? That's good news, but that's not the good news he was talking about. When he says good gospel or good news, he's saying the good news that people like you and I who have rebelled against God, who know that we are under God's wrath, we know it as we get to the end of our lives, especially because we feel it's I don't know, this is not good, I'm not in control anymore. We are under God's wrath. People under God's wrath can receive forgiveness because Jesus died on the cross for them and paid the price for their sin, absorbed the Father's wrath. It's good news that people like you and I who are not good people, no matter how nicely we dress on Sundays and how much we control ourselves around other church people, we're on the inside, we just got done with the series talking about that, we're not good people. And it's people who are not good people who can receive the perfection of Jesus so that when the Father looks at his children, he sees perfect people. That's good news. And people like you and I who are going to die can know that we will rise again if we're God's children and be with our Father for eternity in a new heaven and a new earth. That's good news. Jesus said, tell people that. See, that's the gospel message in about 30 seconds. That's what you and I are supposed to tell people, not primarily on Sunday mornings with a microphone, but as we go through life. Go over to Luke. And if, as we go through this, if you say, well, aren't we just kind of looking at the same thing over and over again? Yes, We are. This was the last thing Jesus told his followers, and we're looking at four different guys' accounts of it. But here's the reason we're looking at it over and over and over again. Because they all thought it was important enough to write down with through different angles of this is what Jesus says is the reason why his followers exist. This is the reason we exist. There's a lot of good things we do. There's a lot of good things we're supposed to be. There's a lot of good buildings and other things that we could do. But this is the reason that we exist. We miss this, we miss everything. We get this right, doesn't matter anything else that we do. It doesn't matter where we meet. It doesn't matter. Nothing else matters if we get this right. And if we get this, if we don't get this right, then everything else is for naught. Do people still say that? Okay, you know what I mean. Okay, go, look at Luke 24 towards the end. Verse 44, he's going to run down a little bit of what the good news of life in him is. He said to them, Jesus said to his followers, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." In other words, I am the Savior who was promised from the very beginning of time, and I came. I was a sacrificial lamb of God. I died. That the prophecies have been fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and thus said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead." And that repentance, that's turning to God. It's not a religious thing. It's you deciding that God will be your boss, the person who tells you what to do. That repentance and forgiveness of sins shall be proclaimed in his name, in Jesus' name, to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. So the same message, my followers are going to talk about people finding life in the Father through me to everyone. That's what they're supposed to do. That's their purpose in life. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. What is he talking about in that last verse? Sending the Holy Spirit. I'm going to send the Spirit of God. John talks about this at the end of John. I'm going to send the Spirit to you. Why? Well, because you're going to be my witnesses. And then we find out that the main thing the Holy Spirit does, one of the main things that he does, is he gives Jesus' followers the courage to speak about Jesus. Because when you know if you try to, it's hard. It's like, they're going to think I'm weird. Am I going to say the right thing? I'm going to stumble over myself. It's hard. He says, I'm going to send my Spirit. He's going to give you power. Power to what? To speak about me, to be the witnesses about me. He's going to give you words. He's going to tell you what to say. He's going to guide you as you talk about me. That is the ministry of the Spirit to help us be people who exist so that people far from God can find peace and purpose in Christ. Look at John 17. He says it. John records it a little more subtly, but it's there. In fact, he says it twice. So we don't miss it. Look at John 17, verse 18. Jesus is talking to God in front of his followers, and here's what he tells God about them. "As you sent me into the world, so I have," what does it say? "Sent them into the world." Same thing. God, in the same way that you sent me, I was in heaven, comfortable, things were good. You sent me into the world to give my lot, to live as a sacrifice for other people. In the same way, I'm going to send my followers into the world to do the same thing so that they can help people far from you find peace and purpose through me. That's why I'm sending. That's the reason why we exist. Anyone who says, I'm not sure I exist for that, I think Jesus would say, I'm not sure you're my follower. That is why we exist. So then look over at John 21, after Jesus has risen from the dead. And this is one even I can get. He's saying the exact same words. It's fairly straightforward. So look at John 20, verse 21. "And Jesus said to them, 'Peace be with you.'" And then what does he say again? "As the Father has sent me, so even I am sending you." Same thing. The same way that I was sent to tell people about how they can have peace with God, I'm sending you as my followers. That's why you're going to exist. That's going to be your purpose. And then he talks about the Holy Spirit again. Think about Luke. "When he had said this, he breathed on them and said, 'Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld.'" He's sending his followers to help people far from God find purpose and peace with the Father through him. And then look over at Acts. You know that Acts is just like a continuation of Luke, right? It's like, you know, Lord of the Rings Part 1, Lord of the Rings 2, whatever the second one is called. I'm not as into that as I should be. But there's, you know, there's actually a third one, I get told. I fell asleep during that movie. My boy told me about it. Acts is the second part of Luke. So Luke ends, and Jesus says, you're going to get power, so stay and wait for that power. And then Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you, Jesus is talking to his followers again, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the end of the earth. That includes Lincoln and wherever else you might live in your life. See, God says, Jesus was saying to his followers yet again, the reason you exist, the reason I exist, the reason we exist as his followers, our purpose for being, whether it is in Sunday mornings or when you have a couple people over to your house for a Bible study, whether it is it's when we have a clothes closet together and you're helping and you're serving and you're giving clothing away in Jesus' name, or whether it's when you're sitting around the dinner table with your children or with your wife and you pull out a Bible at the end of eating and you read the Bible together. The reason we exist as people is not just to be good people who go to church. The reason we exist as Jesus' followers is to help people far from God find life in Christ. That is why we exist. That is the why. That is the reason. So real quick, if that's the why, if that's the reason, if that's why we exist, how do we do that? How do we do that? How do we focus on that together? That there's three things that any community that is focused on that together does, and we do these, and I want to call us to be focused on this together if you're part of this. One is, we get together for a family time. That's normally Sunday mornings. We get together for family time on Sunday mornings, and we sing together. It's fun to sing in your car, maybe, if you're on your way to work, but it's much better to sing together. There's something about us all singing together. There's something about us all coming around this and remembering Jesus' death. Oh yeah, I'm forgiven. There's no condemnation. I'm coming around together this. There's something about hearing God's word proclaimed, all of us together. There's something catalytic about that pushes us forward into the week. The reason we do this is so that we are focused and motivated throughout the week, that the reason I exist is for people far from God to find life in Christ, and this is a place where we invite people to. That's why we do Sundays. Another way that we exist to help people far from God find life in Christ is we live in community together. If you look around, even though all the pews and the rows aren't filled, there's no way that you could be close and you could be family with everybody in here. But you can be family with some people in here. And if you look at the end of Acts 2 and Acts 4, Jesus' followers always lived in community together, whether that is a formal community group, or it's a group of people you get together with on Wednesday nights, or you work together in the clothes closet or the food pantry together with the same group of people, or you have some people into your home and it's kind of the same people all the time and you read the Bible together and you, whatever that looks like for you, we're supposed to live in community with each other throughout the week. This is not supposed to be the last time that we hang out with Christians until next Sunday. So we live in community together. And then the way that we exist so that people far from God can find life in Christ, the way we exist for that to happen, the main thing that we do is individually. So together we're on Sundays together. Throughout the week we're in smaller groups in community, whatever form that takes. If you're working together on the closet or you come together on Wednesday nights or whatever, you have people into your home, you live in community. The last piece where we are focused on helping people far from God find peace and purpose in Christ is by individually, that means you, that means me, by ourselves, focusing on at least two different people that God has put in our lives. Now listen, this is how it's supposed to work. This is what gives purpose to our time together on Sundays in many ways. This is what gives purpose to our community throughout the week. It's when you and I, if you're part of this, you say, I'm going to focus on one person who's far from God, that God has already put in my life. So that's somebody I work with. That's one of my friends. That's a family member. And I'm going to focus on someone who is close to God, who already is a Christian, and I'm going to invest in them. Maybe it's for you, it's starting by saying the person close to God who's in my life is my spouse or my child or my best friend. And the person far from God is that person I play basketball with on Tuesdays. Okay, I'm going to invest in them. What does that mean? help them get closer to Jesus. You say, well, how do I do that? Bring them to church? Sure, if you want to. I mean, that's part of it. But pray for them. Look for times that you can read the Bible with them. It's going to be easier with the person who's already a Christian. I can ask my wife, hey, can we read the Bible together? And she'll always say yes, unless she like has to go shopping or something. That's always a yes. There's somebody I'm investing in who's far from God, and right now, here's what I get to do to help him get closer to God. I pray for him, and I play basketball with him. And every time we play basketball, I'm asking God before him, please give me an opportunity to talk to him about Jesus. I want to study with him. We're not studying together. If I pulled out a Bible and said, hey, could we read the Bible together? He'd say, no. So I do what he'll let me do. We play basketball together. That's cool. But eventually, he doesn't know this yet, we're going to study. We're going to read the Bible together. Eventually, I'm going to be baptizing him. So you have to have that vision for at least one person that God has put in your life, because that's why God has put that person in your life. That's why you live next door to that person. That's why you work with that person every day. That's why you're friends with that person. That's why you're family members with that person, because you know you're going to be baptizing them someday. You're going to be reading the Bible together someday. They don't know it yet, but you know it, and you pray for them every day, and you spend time with them, and you look for a time where you can talk to them about Jesus and start opening up the Bible and reading with them. And then you give yourself to that other person who already is a Christian, and you help them obey everything that Jesus commanded. So we have two people that we invest in. Now, what should we do if the reason we exist, is to help people far from God find life in Christ? Well, what should we do? What are we called to do? We're called to respond to that and say, yes, I'll accept that. I'll give my life to that. If you're not a Christian, if you've never made your own decision to follow Jesus, that is what Jesus is calling you to. As much or more than salvation, he's calling you to give your life, to be like him, so that he can say, as the Father sent me, so I'm sending you into your neighborhood, into your family, to help other people know me. So when you get to the point where you say, I do want to follow Jesus, you're saying yes to not just being God's child, you're saying yes to living your life as someone who's focused on helping other people know Jesus. And when you're ready to make that decision, tell someone here. You can repent. You can be baptized. And I'm guessing there's someone praying for you right now that you would make that decision. And they're going to be happy when that day comes. If you already are a Christian, here's what I would call you to. Focus your life on helping people far from God know Christ. Give yourself to the family time on Sundays. Seek community with two or three other families or couples or people throughout the week who are Christians. And then know who your two people are. Who is that person who's far from God who's in your life? And what are you doing to help them get closer to the Father? You say, I don't know. They don't want to study. Are you praying for them every day? You can do that. They don't have to give you their permission for you to pray for them. And who's the person that God has put close to you who already is a Christian, who you should be helping to learn how to obey everything that Jesus commanded? How do I do that? Just start reading the Bible with them. God will lead you through that. That's a start. So who are your two people? Why don't we stand? We'll pray. And then we'll sing together. God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for calling us to be your children. And God, thank you for reminding us through the words of Christ that if we are in your family, if we are your followers, the reason we exist is not just to be together, not just to be separated from the world, is not just to hang out together, is not just to do our religious ceremonies. It is to help people far from you know you. And God, I pray that you would wake us up again to that so that we would live our lives focused on helping people far from you come to know you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.